Sermon given at funeral services for Elder E. M. Whiting. At St. John's, Arizona, August 20, 1934 at 2:00 p.m. Remarks by President Levi S. Udall. My brethren, sisters and friends, and members of the large Whiting family. I am sure that our hearts are all touched today, in meeting here on this solemn occasion, as our bishop suggested to pay our respects to one of the last remaining original pioneers of this Arizona country. These pioneers are too fast passing away. There aren't many of them left, and it seems to me it is on occasions of this kind that we should pause and review briefly their accomplishments, what they have gone through, and learn from their lives, lessons that will be helpful to us throughout our lives. I have been honored by being requested by the family to read a sketch of the life of Brother Whiting. I appreciate the fact that in the limited time allotted to me, there being two other speakers, that I can only touch on the high spots of the wonderful, full and complete life lived by Grandfather Whiting. We find he was born on August 8, 1857, being 77 years of age a few days ago, and the place of his birth was near or practically on the site where now stands the Manti Temple in Manti, Utah. He had in his boyhood days experiences that come to all boys brought up under those circumstances. He didn't have the advantages of schooling insofar as public schooling is concerned, but he was blessed with a wonderful mother, who was later a teacher and taught many years in the public schools, and under her tutelage he had a fair education. He was a well-read man always. He kept up with the times. He came as a young unmarried man to Brigham City on the Little Colorado River in Arizona, which is located near the present town of Winslow, and lived there a year or two doing the customary work that was required of the pioneers in this country. At the time the people assembled there were living in what is known as the United Order, and it was during his sojourn at this point that he first met his good wife, and after a brief courtship won her consent to become his wife. They then left to have their marriage solemnized in the Temple of the Lord, according to the belief of the Latter-day Saint people, and we find they were married, Brother and Sister Whiting, on the 28th day of November, 1881 in the St. George Temple. They have lived together approximately 53 years as husband and wife, a wonderful period of companionship. We find that after living at Brigham City for 2 years, they moved to Meadows, and the three oldest children, E.I., May and Martha, were born in the section of the country prior to their moving back to Utah in 1888. They moved back to Mapleton, Utah, and we find during the period they lived there five other of their children were born: Ernest, Ralph, Lynn, Elda and Minnie. I think Arthur was born after they returned to Arizona, which was about 1900. They settled in St. John's, and have lived here in our midst continuously since the year 1900. They have lived in the house where they are now residing for 23 years, and it has been my privilege during a large part of that time to live next door to them, just across the street. And I want to say to you, nobody ever had finer neighbors than Brother and Sister Whiting. If you think you can keep up with them in doing little acts of neighborly kindness, I want to say to you that you can't. They will give one so much more than the ordinary person can give that it leaves one astonished with gratitude. We find that 9 children were born to them, 5 sons and 4 daughters. All of the children are here today, and all of the children's husbands and wives, the in-laws, are here with the exception of Drive Brown, who was in Utah and unable to be here on this occasion. I find on questioning the family that they now have 69 in the family, including the children, grandchildren and in-laws, those who have married into this wonderful family. Here are a few of the accomplishments of this good brother, whose body lies before us, and his wife and family. We find, for instance, that Brother Whiting has sent 4 sons on missions the other would have gone if his health had permitted. There are very few people in the St. John's stake or elsewhere who have made more sacrifices in that line for the church than what Brother and Sister Whiting have done. We find among this group of 69 that 15 have filled missions, and I was told that every son and grandson old enough to fill a mission has done so, which should be evidence enough to us of the devotion and love that this good man and his family have had for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They have had as high as 4 out at one time, including the grandchildren, of course. There are some other remarkable things in bringing up this large family that are worthy of our attention at the moment. We find that up to the present time at least, that all of these 9 children, and I think the same can be said of the grandchildren, that all keep the word of wisdom. That is an accomplishment, my friends. It is well worthy of mention. We find that all 9 of these children were married in the temple, and also all of the descendants of this good family have been married in the temple with one exception, where special permission was granted, and I am sure it will be only a matter of a few months till they too will be married in the temple. They are all known as tithe payers on the records of this church. By their fruits ye shall know them. Could there be more fruits than shown by the accomplishments I have mentioned? Coming again to some of the high points in the life of Brother Whiting, we find that he was a pioneer of the old school. One of those self-reliant men, who could go out anywhere, and sustain himself and his loved ones. We find that he was one of our first blacksmiths here in St. John's during the early days, and it is said during the term of that famous sheriff we had here, Commodore Owens, on several occasions, when he brought in outlaws, that Brother Whiting made with shackles on them for these desperate criminals. He has been a farmer, and tilled the soil all his life. When he lived in Mapleton he ran a small sawmill, and when he came back to our part of the country, he was found running a sawmill again and furnished lumber for the building up of homes in this part. He was in the store business in Mapleton a year, and during the 12 years he was there, built a lovely home. After their sojourn there, as stated, in 1900 they returned from Mapleton to our country, where they have been foremost in sawmilling, in reservoir, and dam building, and as has been said, he was close to the soil. He was a man of nature. As the poem, Thanatopsis states to him who, in the love of nature, holds communion with her visible forms, she speaks a various language, a language Brother Whiting knew, for his gay hours she has a voice of gladness, and a smile and eloquence of beauty, and she glides into his darker musings, with a mild and healing sympathy, that steals away their sharpness, ere he is aware. Dash William Cullen Bryant, we find that he understood bees and was one of our best bee men, and he always had a good garden. We find he was foremost in horticulture in our community, and one of the things he prized most we now find hanging on the wall in his home, a certificate given him by the University of Arizona in recognition of his work in this line. It reads thus: "This is to certify that Edwin M. Whiting, of Apache County, Arizona, has made a notable contribution to the betterment of Arizona agriculture in the field of horticulture, and in recognition of this fact he is awarded this certificate by the University of Arizona." It was then signed by the officials of that university. This came to him in February 1926. It was always a great comfort to him to know that his efforts for better horticulture and agriculture were appreciated by the state of which he was a member. We find in his home life that his chief consideration at all times was that his children do right. Everything else was secondary to that. That was uppermost in his mind at all times. His own family has come to appreciate that fact. There have been many occasions he has passed up business opportunities that might have made money, so that he could give the proper environment and training to his boys and girls. One of the outstanding things in his life, as I say, was love of nature and his love of proper recreation. He would have been foremost in the present MIA program of the church. He loved to hunt and fish, and he loved circuses and shows, home dramatics. He invariably took his children with him, and in later life his grandchildren doubtless, on those trips in the outdoors, and he there taught them some of the most important lessons in life, that they will never forget. His children and grandchildren remember him for his unlimited fund of stories, that held them spellbound, and his grandchildren say he never told the same story twice. He would always gather them around his knee, and instruct and amuse them with the great fund of stories he had. He was a great counselor to his children. I notice these children, who live here in town, seldom let a day go by without going to see their father and mother, and I think these children have profited greatly by the excellent advice given them by the parents they had. The children, who don't live in town, you would always find as soon as they drove in town, if they didn't stop at once at their father's place, they would do so very soon after reaching town. It is said he never struck a child. He knew how to discipline them, and hold their affection without corporal punishment. He never struck them. He kept them together and they are together now. One of the characteristics of the family is to hold together, and to me that is wonderful. I have often wondered how they did it, and I think it was the wise advice and counsel and teachings that came to them from their father and mother. Their home life was ideal, and as I say, they lived together 53 years, having the companionship of one another and loving each other more as the years went by. His wife was one of the kind of women that was a true helpmate, and he always took her with him. The other day, realizing his end was near and that he might not regain consciousness again, he called his wife to his bedside and said to her, "This is one trip we can't start out together on. But there is no question in my mind that this good man who has gone to his reward will prepare a place for his helpmate, and it won't be long until she will join him there, and they will go on working together throughout the ages of eternity, with these children and grandchildren all down through the years." One of the outstanding characteristics of Brother Whiting was that he was a practical man, as I have stated, and a wise man. He had the knowledge that comes through experience, and he had a varied experience. He had an extreme love for his family, was industrious and thrifty, a good neighbor and a wise counselor. He has now gone on to prepare the way for those following. And in closing, I will say that he has left to this large and splendid family the greatest heritage any man could have, a good name. May they be blessed that they may leave that name untarnished, that they will live as their father would want them to live, is my prayer. Amen.